A brief history of the Titanic, fascinating historical facts of Titanic's tragic tale, written by Scott Matthews, narrated by Daniel Jones. Introduction. The year is 1912, and you're one of the lucky few to set sail on a ship that can outperform any other passenger ship on the market. You settle into your room, enjoy luxurious meals, and mingle with people from all walks of society. You spend 4 days enjoying this routine. You spend your fifth in frigid water, slowly losing your life. This was the fate of many passengers on the RMS Titanic, a passenger liner used by the White Star Line Company and designated as an RMS, Royal Mail Ship, indicating that the vessel was authorized to carry mail under the auspices of the Royal Mail. The ship was deemed nearly unsinkable before its maiden voyage on April 10, 1912. By April 15th, it was proven that this statement was completely false. Over half of the passengers on the ship died during the accident. Those who survived were extremely traumatized, but were eager to be able to tell their stories. Society mourned with them, hosting memorials and museums that continue to be funded. These stories have captivated society since the sinking. Movies have been made about the incident. Attempts have been made to visit the remains of the shipwreck. However, few know the full story behind the ill-fated ship. The disaster itself was entirely preventable, and the results of the sinking could have been avoided with additional preparation. Panic and chaos led to more deaths than the actual sinking. Industry standards of the time were also partially to blame. The story is one full of regret and sadness, yet is also an important cautionary tale of hubris and excess. The conception. The RMS Titanic began as a project involving a trio of ships. A company named the White Star Line, headquartered in Belfast, Ireland, decided to create triplet ships, all meant to be the most powerful and luxurious on the seas. Never meant to stand alone, the RMS Titanic was planned to be partnered with two sister ships, the RMS Olympic and the RMS Britannic. This was due to a desire to outperform the rivals of the White Star Line Company. Cunard, another British company, had recently built the Lusitania and the Mauritania. These ships were deemed to be the fastest passenger ships in creation. Two other companies based in Germany, Hamburg America and Norddeutscher Lloyd, were also attempting to create boats to compete with the Cunard ships. Cunard, Hamburg America, and Norddeutscher Lloyd all posed a serious threat to the White Star Line. The White Star Line feared that they could gain unbeatable prestige if they succeeded in building epic ships and went unchallenged. Knowing that it would be difficult to beat the Cunard ships in terms of speed, White Star Line decided to focus on building ships of immense size and comfort. The trio of boats also played an important role in improving the White Star Line's ships. The existing fleet required the use of four ships to meet industry demand. These vessels, namely the RMS Teutonic, the RMS Adriatic, the RMS Majestic, and the RMS Oceanic, were slated for retirement and replacement as their technology became obsolete. These factors led to a discussion between the White Star Line's chairman, J. Bruce Ismay, and J.P. Morgan, the company's American-based financier who owned the company under which White Star Lines operated, known as the International Mercantile Marine Company. During this discussion, the desire to create a new trio of boats led to the conception of the Titanic. The ship was to be named after the Titans found in Greek mythology. These beings were the forefathers of the gods and goddesses. They were known for their size and power. The ship was meant to mirror them in these aspects. It would be paired with the Britannic and the Olympic. The shipbuilding company Harlan & Wolff was hired to complete the project. Their long-term relationship with White Star Lines made them an obvious first choice. Wilhelm Wolff would create the initial design of the ship, and Edward James Harlan would perfect the model. The men were told to spend whatever was necessary to make the ships as great as they could be. Ultimately, a loose limit of $3 million was established for the first two ships. This limit was negotiable and flexible, however. Additions were to be made as necessary. Harlan and Wolff put numerous other designers to work on the project. The Olympic line of ships was simply too important to be designed by two men alone.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?